Welcome. I'm William Evans, and we're shifting gears. Our guest today is Kerri-Ann Ahsani, a teen life coach for girls and young women living here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Welcome, Kerri-Ann.
Hi.
The teenage years are a challenging time of development for young people everywhere, so it's not totally a surprise now to be conversing with a teen coach. It's a delight to have you visiting with us, Kerri-Ann.
Thank you.
How many youth today grow up listening to the message, "You are a wonderful, powerful being with a unique combination of gifts and talents, unlike anyone else, and you will grow up to stand tall as a valuable member of our family and community"?
That's a great question, Will. I'm so happy to be here talking about this today. I don't think many get that specific message. Maybe, especially in our valley, because we have many conscious people here and some conscious parents as well, that they may hear that, but I doubt that many of them actually internalize it and use that as a basis to, as an internal dialogue to live their lives through. I think that many of them hear, because we have fabulous teachers and great parents here, they may hear that occasionally, but I doubt many of them actually work from that place, like live from that place and have that as an internal dialogue.
So our saying it is not enough. They have to own the message and the truth and find the truth in themselves.
Right. And the challenge today is that the messages that they're receiving through media, through the average teen, the American teen today I think it's like 10 hours and 45 minutes of media a day between TV and internet and music and all of that, that those messages are so much more persistent that they become the internal dialogue. And that's the challenge that they're facing.
So you actually think growing up's more difficult today than it was 20 or 30 years ago?
Absolutely.
In your experience, what's the biggest challenge facing youth today?
I believe it's disconnection. And the ironic thing is, you know, sitting in front of a screen, whether it's 4x3 or 18 inches or whatever that screen is, isolated in a room or isolated with that screen, they're using that isolation as the connection, but it's not connected. We're missing out in so many ways. They're missing out in so many ways by connecting to the world through that screen. There are many benefits to it, but there are many hazards as well.
So this disconnection is multidimensional.
Yes, indeed. It affects every aspect of their life, from relationships to their emotional capacity to their physical. There's physical effects. There's brain effects that affect the brain. There's violence, bullying, the whole nature of human connection in terms of boyfriends, girlfriends, the what they call the hookup culture. It's all affected by this constant media barrage.
How significant is it for a child to grow up then indoors, in other words, not to play outside relating to nature and elements in some form every day?
Good question. When it shifts the values, it shifts their values. So if you are if you're media immersed, then your values will be around materialistic things and money and that kind of thing. If you're immersed in nature, your values will shift to be, you'll value relationships more and you'll value earth more, and it completely shifts their values.
Yeah, I've never forgotten a quote a fourth grader told the writer Richard Louv. The child said, "I like to play indoors because that's where all the electrical outlets are."
Scary, right? The And what's happening is they're experiencing the world secondhand instead of being actually immersed in the world and all the great in exploring the world. It's exploring the world through this, again, this screen. So they're one step away. And yeah, and that's a challenge. That's hard. That's sad.
What I hear then is, despite its many gifts, media is also seductive and addicting, and we can become confused to the point of neglecting our own health and squandering our time and resources feeding a media addiction.
Certainly. It's actually even in the new diagnostic statistical manual, the DSM-5, as a internet addiction. It's actually been designated that way. And yes, it affects the brain in such a way that we get this dopamine hit, which dopamine is the neurotransmitter that stimulates, promotes eagerness and stimulation. And it's also what is, there are drugs like cocaine that and other amphetamines that promote that as well. So the average teen does something like about 160 to 200 texts a day. And each text creates that dopamine hit. So no wonder they're, you know, addicted to it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not immune. I value my connection with nature, and I've got a relatively strong, well-tended inner fire. But I know that there are mornings when I get up and the first thing I do is go check my email.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. It's very seductive, and it draws you in. And I admit I've done it myself, where I've gone to look something up and then I'm there an hour later.
Exactly.
and there, this information age is amazing. I mean, there's a lot of great things to it. It connects the world in ways that we've never been connected before. It raises literacy. It raises the social and economic awareness and political awareness and social mindedness globally. And there are kids that are out there doing amazing things, like Tavi Gavison with Rookie has a great website. And there's many other websites that these kids are doing that are fabulous. But when you and I, you know, squander an hour on the internet, it's not that much of a challenge as it is to somebody that's 13 or 15 or even 20. The brain isn't fully developed until you're 25. So that place that manages that is it's a challenge. It's hard because they can't sift through all of that information. The prefrontal cortex isn't developed yet, so it makes it harder for teens to cope with social events and normal pressure when they're constantly in that barrage. Yeah.
And bullying is also a huge issue, more devastating than when you and I were young, and I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah. yeah, it certainly is. And now's this thing called cyberbullying. And cyberbullying is a net for all kinds of things, from gossip to impersonation to exclusion to what they call flaming to threats and stalking. And there's so much that goes under that cyberbullying umbrella. But it's damaging. I mean, we've heard horrible things, from suicide to, you know, loss of self-esteem and beyond.
So is there a relationship between disconnection and bullying, do you think?
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
The art of relationship and the art of communication is getting lost. And what's happening is, you know, when we were younger, when I was younger, when you were younger, and you had a crush on somebody, you got to walk up to them and look them in the eye and ask them out, right? It was a risk. It was challenging. Yet there was an ability to see body language and facial expression and tone of voice. And now, because of the internet and because of texting and because of the, like I said, the one step away connection, we're losing all of that. So most of their communication is through this device. And while it's challenging to, ask somebody out on a date, it's also brings down the inhibitions. And so those things that we would pause and say, should I really say this? If I really say this to this person, I can see it's going to hurt them. That's taken away. And when you're typing on a keyboard or with your thumbs there, you forget that you're actually speaking to or about a human being.
So we're emotionally disconnected as well as disconnected from nature and our identity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Fred Donaldson, who plays, called my attention to a New York Times article about online advocates for victims of cyberbullying who in time became bullies themselves.
Yes, it's true. And one of my teachers, one of the people I admire, Rachel Simmons, talks about it in her book, Odd Girl Out, about she was bullied as a child and became a bully herself. And that was kind of a wake-up call to her. And she came, she decided to be an advocate for girls. And she talks about the social relational aggression and that idea that girls have to be sweet and empathetic and caring all the time. And Steve Henshaw talks about it in his book as well, The Triple Bind, where girls have to be sweet, empathetic, and caring, and also excel at all the boy stuff, be great at the girl stuff, be great at the what they call the boy stuff, and look effortless and hot and sexy all the time. It's an impossible ideal. It's an impossible ideal. Yet we see these photoshopped constructions of it every day. And so even though they, in some ways, they know it's not real, they're still trying to achieve that. And so because they can't, and this is true for boys as well, I mean, for both of them, for all of us, because they can't, they think, oh, there must be something wrong with me. I can't achieve that.
So with bullying in any form, a child reflexly contracts in defense and they shrink in stature unless they've been actively encouraged to stand tall and find their own emerging identity and learn to play with enough skills to handle socially awkward situations and a bully.
Certainly. And as the relationships, I think, are failing because of that, because they can't, they don't have any place to learn that. And, I guess that's not true exactly. They have opportunities to learn that, but rather they're making different choices. They're making choices to be online rather than to connect with that person.
And learn those skills.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to Shifting Gears. I'm William Evans, and our guest today is Carrie-Anne Ahsani, a teen life coach. So everyone has a center point, and from the beginning of human life, we've located that point of balance through playing outdoors, and it has helped us navigate to where we are now on the planet. Two things happen for a child playing outside. We explore and we discover. And that means we begin learning who we are and how to relate to our peers and the life around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're kids today are missing out on that in some ways, even in this beautiful valley.
So as children play outdoors less and are plugged into media more, play deprivation can cut them off from discovering their identity and exploring the social experiences of what works and what doesn't work in the sandbox.
Sure. And what's happening is the constant looking outward, constant search, we call them search engines, right? This constant search and looking outward and comparing denies them the ability to actually connect to their authentic selves.
So it's an external search rather than an internal awareness.
Exactly. Well put.
And a young brain is very vulnerable to these messages transmitted by a strong electric frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's happening is that it makes it, it's when we disrupt that adolescent brain in that way, in terms of, and I mean, if we're talking about relationship, but not only that, with healthy sexual maturity, it's disrupting it in such a way that they lose intimacy. They lose intimate connection, and it can, to the extreme, cause sexual dysfunction even.
Lose connection to who they are.
Yes.
So if there's no internal North Star we identify and locate, an electronic fire can disrupt our navigation and smother our internal fire.
Absolutely. It's impossible to know who you truly are by looking outside of yourself. There are guideposts. There are signs along the way that help us to know that. And there are certainly some of those online. But by and large, kids aren't searching for those kinds of things, right? And so they miss out on that internal connection.
So online is a helpful tool only if you are continually working with the inner map and terrain.
Well, and guided to use it that way. I mean, yeah, the analogy I like to use is, you know, when a kid gets close to 15, 16 years old, they start to learn all the particulars about driving. And there's a huge, long process to being able to get out on the road with a license by yourself and go wherever you want to go. It takes a couple of years, and it takes a lot of training. And yet we put, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8-year-olds out on the superhighway by themselves without any training. And yes, there are some parental controls out there, which I highly suggest using. There's ones for Androids and iPhones, and there's Google ones. I have a long list of them if you're interested in them. Spectrasoft.com is one. But the thing is, they need training. They need help with that.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing is we have forgotten the importance of the grounding outdoors in nature, yeah, where we have the stillness to hear ourselves.
Absolutely.
And our own heart song. And we need boundaries, just like we had boundaries established about how we're going to drive a car.
Yeah.
And this role of entertainment hooks even younger emotions, but particularly teenage emotions and hormones, mm-hmm, and can jerk it around in a wild way.
Sure. And it's beyond entertainment now. I mean, I have, I guide clients as well to make sure that they establish physical connection with their friends, not just through Facebook or Instagram or Kick or whatever they're on. That's one of the things that they're terrified of, is that you take away all of those social media connections, they feel completely isolated. And
'cause there's no foundation in human relationships.
Right. Exactly. That's that they feel that that's their primary connection. And And that's a challenge. And again, it's the demise of the art of relationship and actually relating to each other.
So a flood of information can fuel a child's anxiety and insecurity.
Certainly, because they don't know how to sift through it. Their brain isn't developed enough to sift through it, for one thing. But not only that, even if mom and dad are the most caring, loving, attentive parents and are demonstrative and sharing that with their child every day, several times a day, the constant media barrage trumps that. So there has to be structure. There has to be limits.
Well, I'm working on doing that myself because it's a tool I use, I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
And yet I can lose control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are girls more impacted than boys in this time?
I wouldn't say that. I would say they're impacted differently.
But equally.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So when there's an absence of healthy self-identity, youth are more vulnerable to being inhabited by a false identity, I call it, someone else's agenda, and they may never discover who they are. That's a real risk today, isn't it?
Certainly.
And it can be a violent identity.
Certainly. And it's a risk because... In some ways, when we go onto these social media sites and we answer the questions and we come up with an identity that we put out there in the online world, typically it's a step away or maybe 10 steps away from who we really are, right? And in some ways, that's great to explore and put on different hats. And I have a theater background as well. So, I mean, putting on those different hats and those different faces is a wonderful idea and a great way to explore our identity. But in some ways, what happens when we do this online, when these kids are doing this online, is they become solely connected to that. And stop taking time to explore, like you said, through nature, through really healthy ways, taking those healthy risks through art, through theater, through nature, through athletics, which develops the brain in a healthy and the body in a healthy way, and they miss out. So some of the tools and some of the solutions that I work with are, first of all, with parents, I say be in the neighborhoods they're in. You wouldn't send your kid across town to a neighborhood, especially if they're 12, 13, 14 years old, across 11, 10, to a neighborhood that you don't know and you don't know anybody there. Right? You'd ask questions. You'd know where they are.
Right.
And you certainly wouldn't send your teenage girl out to play at 11 or 12 o'clock at night to play in those neighborhoods.
Right.
So have a presence in those neighborhoods. If your kid's on Facebook, be on Facebook. Although Facebook is less and less becoming the teen site, and it's more and more Instagram and Kick and that kind of thing. So whatever neighborhoods, whatever social media they're partaking in, you have a presence there as well, and know what they're doing and see what they're doing. And really have boundaries about it. No media at the table. I mean, I think sitting down and eating and conversing is one of the great ways to overcome this. No media in their room. Teen girls, teen boys don't need to have any media in their room until they go to college, is what I say. I know that sounds ridiculous and an unrealistic expectation, but they shouldn't be having media in their room. I call this thing a parking lot where they park all the media in the household at, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night or after dinner, and then it's done.
I work with an organization, and the crew's cell phones go into a box and they're locked up for the week they're working in the field.
Sure.
And they get them back when they go to town. at the end of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. And spend time in nature. I mean, now it's spring break. Get out there. Take the cell phone. I share this thing. Leave your camera. Leave your camera at home. I know a lot of people like to take it out on hikes to listen to music or to take pictures. But how much more present are you when you can't take a picture of it?
That's a great example because I realized that a long time ago, and I love photography and film. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's a tool of disconnection.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you're actually present there watching it, it's even more visceral and you connect to it even more.
Carrie Ann, tell us your website and mission.
My website is teengemscoaching.com. That's TEENGEMS coaching.com. And my mission is to connect girls to their authentic selves, to know their value and their worth in the world, to connect to their own inner identity and express it authentically in the world.
Good work. Thanks. I sense a huge need for what you're doing. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
This is William Evans. You've been listening to Carrie Ann Asani, a teen life coach for girls and young women here in the Valley. This is KDNK. Thank you for listening.